Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 John chapter number 5. I mean what I'm saying. I want to preach this morning what God's going to let me preach tonight. I want you to come back tonight. I want you to be faithful to church, not just because we're having choir practice. You need to be faithful for that too. But I want you to be here tonight. God does not want you living a discouraged life. It's not God's will for us to walk around with our head down all the time. And I'm glad that we can find help and we can find comfort and we can find encouragement in the Lord. Amen. 1 John chapter number 5, and you pray for us this morning that the Lord would help us. The Bible says in verse number 10, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us." Say the next two words with me. Eternal life. And this life is in our good works and what we can do to maintain it. And this life is in me never sinning again and never messing up again. This life is in His Son. You see, my eternal life is not based on me, it's based on Him, amen? He goes on to say in verse number 12, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things," excuse me, "have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have," here it is again, "eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in our good works." It's not what he said. "This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will," the Bible said, "he heareth us." Father, I love you today, and I pray over the next few minutes, God, that you'd use us. I pray, God, that we'd have clarity of mind and clarity of speech today. I pray, God, that if it'd be one here lost, God, that you'd save them today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. Look with me again what the Bible said in verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him." The problem is so many times we're putting our confidence in the wrong thing. And by the way, I don't have a title to the message and 3 points and all that today. I just got a thought in the Bible, okay? So maybe we'll learn from that. But the problem is this: so many times in our life, we are putting our confidence in the wrong thing. He said that we have confidence in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, that is the key to that verse. His will. Not according to our will, not according to what we want, not according to what we think, not according to what we think should happen, but according to the will of God. If you're here this morning and you're saved by the grace of God, there was a time in your life that you asked the Lord to save you. I remember the night. It was July the 20th, 1994. I was lost and on the road to hell, and God showed me that. He made me very evident and made it very clear in my life that I was lost. I'll never forget, I got up, I went to the adult men's Sunday school class. I didn't go to the altar. I went to the adult men's Sunday school class, and there I prayed and asked the Lord to save me. But can I tell you something? The moment that I stood up, in my heart, that very moment, Miss Shannon, I was asking God and believing God. I'll never forget, I asked the Lord to save me. I can't tell you every word I said that night. I can't tell you every word that I prayed that night, but I can tell you this. I do remember asking him to come into my heart. Now, here's what the Bible said. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You remember what the Bible said? If you'll flip back just one book in your Bible to 2 Peter chapter number 3. 2 Peter chapter number 3, and I hope you'll leave your Bible open. We're going to use it very extensively this morning. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse number 9 said this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. He is long-suffering to us. You know what that means? That means God does not give us what we deserve. In other words, when we mess up, he still loves us, amen? He's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. In other words, the will of God is that you don't perish, but you are saved. Now, what did he say? Here's what he said in 1 John. He said, if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. So it was the will of God for every man, according to 2 Peter 3:9, to be saved. Can I get an amen right there? You say, who can be saved? For God so loved the world. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Salvation is not just for an elect few. Salvation is for everybody. And when we pray and we ask God to save us, we're praying according to his will, and the Bible says he hears us. Now, here's what I'm interested in today: saved and know it. If I had a title, I guess I just made one. Saved and know it. So many people walk around today, and this is one thing that leads to discouragement, but so many people walk around today and they cannot get their salvation settled. Am I saved? Am I not saved? Here's the way it's stated a lot of times. They doubt their salvation. Am I saved or am I lost? Can I tell you something this morning? I don't say this arrogantly. I don't say this pridefully. I'm just talking to you this morning. I do not doubt my salvation. There's absolutely nothing you can do to make me doubt my salvation. You mean, tell you the reason why? I know that I'm saved. You say, how do you know that you're saved? Because of the word of God. He said, if I ask anything according to his will, he heareth this. I'll never, and I've used this illustration before, and I don't even know if he remembers saying this. But I remember years ago, me and Brother Greg Castevens sitting back there was talking about salvation. And here's what he said. He said, I wouldn't trade my salvation with no one. You know what he was saying? He was saying this: I'm confident in what God's done for me. Hear me and hear me well today. I'm the same way. I wouldn't trade it with nobody else. I believe my daddy saved, but I wouldn't trade salvation with him. Let me tell you the reason why. The only person, Brother Matt, that I truly know is saved is me. And here's what the Bible tells us in 1 John 5:13. He says that we can know that we're saved. We don't have to walk around in doubt. We don't have to walk around wondering if we're saved. We don't have to walk around thinking, oh, man, I sure hope that if something happens to me that I'm going to heaven. No, it's not a hope so. It's not a maybe so, thank God. It's a no so salvation today. So, preacher, how can I know I'm saved? Are you in 1 John? Go with me to chapter number 1. Chapter number 1. 1 John chapter number 1. And this is not alliterated. This is just
thoughts, okay? This is just the Bible. Here's the way we can know. And sometimes if we're not careful, I know me as a preacher, I'll get caught up in trying to outline something and outline God out of it. So here it is, just basic this morning. How can I know I'm saved? Well, there will be a desire for fellowship with things of the light. Look what he said in 1 John chapter number 1. If we say, this is verse number 6, I'm sorry. Y'all didn't have that in your notes, did you? If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. You say, preacher, I don't like that. Well, it ain't me saying it. I'm just giving you the Bible. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sins. What did he say? If we walk in the light. Time would not permit us, but if we'll study the Word of God today, we'll find out that God or Jesus is the light that he is referring to. And here's what he's saying to us today, that if we have fellowship with the things of God, then we're saved. I thought about this. The person who is truly saved by grace will gravitate towards those things that have to do with the Lord. Things like the Bible, prayer, the church, the fellowship of the saints, etc. will be precious and special to the person who has been saved. If you find that you are drawn towards the things pertaining to darkness and the things of this world more than you're drawn to God and the things of God, then there's a problem. She said, preacher, how do I know that I'm saved? Here's the way that we know that we're saved. We have a desire for fellowship with the things of the light. We want to walk with God. We want to talk with God. We want to fellowship with God. We want to fellowship with the people of God. We want to be in the presence of God. It's all right there in the Bible. Watch this, chapter 2. I'm probably not going to be long at all this morning. Chapter 2, look with me in verse number 3. Brother Tim Ramey, there's a button on them thermostats that switches from heat to air. And I don't know if anybody else would like that air set on 69, but it would tickle me to death. And I know he'll have to get around a couple of y'all to redo them, but that'll be all. It's that time of the year when you don't know whether to turn the heat on the air on. Because if I hadn't have turned the heat on, all y'all would have come in here this morning and it about 60 degrees and you'd been complaining because it's cold. So now I didn't turn the air on, I turned the heat on and you're complaining because it's hot. And you wonder why preachers go crazy. Watch this. There was a little bit of sarcasm in that. 1 John chapter number 2. Let's just look at the Bible. Is that okay? This way? I know this is different than I normally preach. Look what he says in verse number 3. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, or so to walk, even as he walketh. She said, preacher, how do I know that I'm saved? There will be a desire within the true believer to do the things God commanded us to do, and to avoid the things God commands us not to do. A genuine true Christian, a genuine true believer, a genuine person that's really been saved by the grace of God will have a desire inside their heart to do the things God commanded us to do and to not do the things that God commanded us not to do. You say, preacher, how do I know I'm saved? Well, can I ask you a question? Do you have a desire for the things of God? Now, I understand, and this is another message within itself, I understand that we can go to the book of 2 Peter and we can look in chapter number 1 where he talks about they have forgotten what God had done for them. They had forgotten where God had brought them from. In other words, we use this terminology today. They are backslidden. I understand that. But hear me and hear me well. Even if a person is backslidden deep down inside his heart, he still knows what's right and what's wrong, and to a certain extent, he still has a desire for the things of God. Let me give you another one. Chapter 2, verse 29. If we know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Here's what he is saying right there. When a person is saved, he'll have fruit of his salvation. There will be a change in the believer's life that other people will see righteousness in him. Have you ever saw somebody, man, I could call three or four names right here, that once they was this way and they acted this way and man, their life was completely contrary to the Word of God, and then they get saved and their life is completely changed. What happened? They got saved. And the Bible said, if we know that he is righteousness, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him. Will do the things that are right. Now watch this. I'm going to give you one more. Watch this, chapter 3. And I'm going to spend a little bit of time right here. Chapter 3, verse number 6. Whosoever, chapter 3, verse 6 of 1 John, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither know him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Time out right here. Why was Jesus Christ sent to earth? Why was Jesus Christ manifested to us? Why did the Son of God come here to earth? Here's the reason why. To destroy the works of Satan. What is the works of Satan? Pulling you off into hell. Deceiving you. That's what he started doing. Christ was sent to overcome that. He says in verse number 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now here's what I want you to see. A true believer, this is the way you know whether or not you're saved. A true believer will not continue in a life of sin. He'll not continue. You say, well, preacher, what does that mean that we sin not? Does that mean that we have a life of sinless perfection? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Matter of fact, if you go back in chapter number 1, verse number 8, he says this, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Yes, we still sin, but after salvation, we should sin less. We are a new creature in the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we sin today is because we choose to sin. That went over like a lead balloon. We choose to sin. We choose to do wrong. We can flip Wilson this thing all day. The devil made me do it. No, you chose within yourself to do it. I was somewhere the other day, and I don't even remember where I was. I don't even remember where I was. It was yesterday. I was talking to somebody yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. And I was talking to somebody yesterday, but I can't remember who it was I was talking to. I talked about 937 people at that meeting yesterday. But we was talking about the condition of our country. And we was talking about how this generation is a generation that feels that they are owed something, Brother Scotty. They deserve something. We owe them something. And I said, here's what has caused that problem in America today. We stop letting kids lose on the ball field. Everybody gets a trophy. Everybody bats. Nobody strikes out. No, have you not heard the song? It's 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game. But we've done away with that. And because we've done away with that, now there's a society that we have brought up. And Brother Ted, they think that they're owed everything. They're supposed to get an award for everything. So when they mess up, it's somebody else's fault. No, I didn't. It's somebody else. This made me do that. Or that one. No, hear me and hear me well. When you sin, you choose to do that. If I go out today and have an affair on my wife, it's not another woman's fault. And it's not my wife's fault. It's my fault because I chose to do it. And what he is saying is this, now that we are saved, there should be less sin in our life. We should walk a life of righteousness. I want to say this to you. If you can sin and it doesn't bother you, something's wrong. Something is wrong. Something's wrong. I can have the least wrong thought, Brother Robert, and I mean immediately, God smacks me in the back of the head, Brother DC, and says, you're wrong. I can say the wrong thing. I know that's hard for y'all to believe, but I can every once in a while. I can say the wrong thing. I can snap off at somebody. I can get upset and act the wrong way. And Brother Lloyd, immediately in my heart and in my soul, the Lord says, you're wrong. The Bible said, those whom I loveth, I correcteth. And if we can live a life of sin and there's no correction in our life, then according to the Word of God, according to the Word of God, this is the Bible, we're bastards and not sons. We're not the Son of God. So I want to say something to you this morning in closing. You can know you're saved. This Bible, the simple truths right out of the Word of God, if you can do these things or you can't do these things, then something's wrong. Something's wrong. He said, preacher, how do you know you're saved? I know I'm saved because of the Bible. I wrote down 3 little points. Come start playing softly. That was my introduction. I wrote down 3 little points. Here's the reason why. I looked back over some old outlines, and this was 3 subpoints in a message that I preached one time. So if you're writing your Bible, you've probably got these 3 subpoints wrote down. I can know I'm saved because of everything I just showed you right there. It's all right there. In 1 John, believing is a main theme. We can know it. Here's 3 ways, just simple, for sake of alliteration, and you that needs that to put in your notes. Number one, I've been bought with a price. I've been bought with a price. See, the Word of God tells us that Christ bought us. See, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. The payment for sin. Somebody had to pay our sin debt. But thank God, He paid our sin debt. I've been bought with a price. The most costly thing. It cost Him His life. He loved you enough to give His life. You said, preacher, you don't understand my life. It don't matter what your life is. He loved you enough to give his life so that you could live. He chose to die so you could live. He chose hell so you could have heaven. He chose separation from the Father so you could be brought in fellowship with the Father. He paid our price. I've been bought with a price. Number two, I've been blessed with a pardon. I've been blessed with a pardon. Whenever you're pardoned, your record is done away with. Let me tell you what happened the night I got saved. Thank God my sins was washed away. Amen. Said, preacher, the life I used to live, let's don't even talk about it. Let me tell you the reason why. Because God don't even remember it when you begin to talk about it. Sometimes we want to gloat in sin of our past. Man, just forget about it. God chose to forget about it. Why don't we just decide instead of gloating in our past and looking into our past, we're looking to the future and realize that God blessed us with a pardon. He forgave us for it. Let's let it be gone and serve Him. Now, you know I'm saved? Well, I'm bought with a price. I'm blessed with a pardon. But here's the reason I know I'm saved. I'm booked in paradise. And I know it's heaven today, but we needed to use a P there for sake of alliteration. I'm booked in paradise. Here in just a few weeks, we'll go on our couples retreat. And on the couples trip and the couples retreat, we'll go to the Hilton in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. And I'll get out, and I'll walk in with Miss Leslie, and we'll say reservations for Jonathan Barker. You know what they'll do? They'll look on that computer. This is what they better do. They'll look on that computer, and they'll say, yep, we've got you down for two nights. Thank you for being here. Just a second, we're going to get Emily or Allie or Alexis, whatever that lady's name is. What's her name? Ellie. Well, it started with an E. We're going to get Miss Ellie. She's going to come out here and take you to the conference room, give you a key to it, and show you everything over there. You hear me tell you the reason all of that's going to happen like that? It's because we made reservations. We've made reservations. You ever showed up at a nice restaurant and walked up? And I love to do this when there's a great big line there. Walk up and go, Jonathan Barker. And they go, yep, right here. Follow me in. And they take you in and they seat you. Why? Because you've got reservations. Are you with? You've got reservations. The other day, Leslie and I took off for our anniversary. We went up next to Asheville to a beautiful little house up there and hiked for 2 or 3 days up there. And on the way up there, I got a text message. And it said, this is your code to get into the house. And you know what? We got to that house. We punched the code in. And we walked in. And boy, it was all prepared. Man, it was not. Why? Because we had reservations. Are you hearing me? We was booked to be there. We had reservations for that. Hear me and hear me well. One day death is going to come knocking on my door. I don't know if it'll be today or tomorrow or the next day. I don't know. But according to the Bible, it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. Death is going to come knocking on my door. And when it does, thank God, I know exactly where I'm going. I'm going to a place called heaven. And here's the reason I know that. July the 20th, 1994, I made reservations. I'm booked when I get there. He'll say, Jonathan Barker, yes, sir, your name's down. Enter in. I'm booked in paradise. Are you? Are you saved? I'm not trying to make you doubt it. I'm just asking you a question. You said, preacher, I'm not sure. I showed you scripture of things in your life that should be there. And if they're not, I'd check up. And if you sit here and you know you're not saved, hear me and hear me well. There's a God that loves you. Come make your reservations for the marriage supper of the Lamb. for the streets of gold, for the gates of pearl, for the crystal river of life, for the throne of God. Amen. I'm glad we can know it. Let's stand with our heads.